Take out your Bibles and turn to Daniel, book of Daniel. We've been studying that on Wednesday nights, and we're glad that you're here and we can study this book of Daniel. Daniel, written around 500-600 years before our Lord came the first time, a book of prophecy, and we were looking at Daniel chapter 1 and Daniel chapter 2 we've been looking at. Daniel chapter 1 and then Daniel chapter 2. And we saw that the children of Israel were defeated by the Babylonians. And when they were defeated by the Babylonians believed their God was stronger than the God of Israel. And in 606 B.C. they were defeated, and then they were defeated again. 598, they were defeated again at 586 B.C. And at the final defeat, their temple was razed to the ground. And the Babylonians were the most powerful kingdom in the world and reigned over all the kings of the world. And these guys, Daniel and his three friends, were three teenagers that were taken captive. And they were being trained by the king of Babylon to be leaders in his kingdom because they were intelligent young people. And he made them eunuchs, and he prepared them to train them for his kingdom. And so in Daniel chapter 1, we find out these things happen, but we see that God was still in control, even though the temple of God had been destroyed, even though the parents of these kids, no doubt, had been killed, even though they'd been taken to a foreign land, still they believed that God was in control, and Daniel purposed to serve God and to put God first, even though he was having all these bad things happen to him. He still knew God was good and that God was in control. And it's because he had a strong faith in the Lord, and he had a strong walk with the Lord. We know in Daniel he prayed three times every day. One time they made a law against prayer, but Daniel kept on praying facing Jerusalem. And if you're going to have a great year in 08, if it's going to be great for you in 08, you have to have your faith fed. And the way you get your faith fed is by coming to church and hearing the Word of God preached and taught. And it's by having your own devotions, by studying and reading the Word of God and having a prayer life every day with God. And God will feed you and strengthen you, not just your, you know, we had plenty of food over Christmas, didn't we? I'm sure you fed your flesh. I know I was up about 5 pounds, and I'm ready to go back today. I just clean it all out today. But I don't want to fast when it comes to the... I might be fasting physically today for physical reasons, but I don't want to fast when it comes to the Word of God. I need the Word of God. How about you? Amen?
Amen.
And we're going into a time, though it's going to be great in 08 spiritually, we're moving close to the time when these prophecies in Daniel 9, for instance, are going to be fulfilled, and they're the times of the end times, and they're going to be difficult times, and you're going to need to overcome, and you're going to need a strong relationship to the Lord, and He'll give you that as you walk with Him. And Daniel had that. I mean, what if it happened to you like it did to Daniel, and you had the experiences that he had? Where would you be spiritually? And I want to encourage you on this first prayer meeting of 08 that you determine and purpose in your heart that I am going to stand with God and I'm going to have a strong faith like Daniel did. And Daniel purposed that he would not eat the food that was given to him by the king. He would not drink the wine that was given to him by the king because it was offered to the god of the Babylonians, who claimed to be stronger than the god of Israel, Marduk, and he wouldn't go along with that. And he also wouldn't go along with it because it was contrary to the law of God that was given to the Israelites, and he put the Word of God above his own comfort. And God honored that and blessed him. God showed that even though Daniel was in a foreign land, and even though they felt their God was stronger than the God of Israel, they were wrong, that really Daniel's God was stronger. And God gave Daniel and his three friends grace and favor in the eyes of the keeper of the eunuchs. And they were given favor, and they were allowed, you see, to eat just vegetables and water. And it was for 10 days that they did that. And after they ate just vegetables and water while the other Chaldeans were eating all the good food of the king, this was a test period. One of the men tell me, who looked better at the end of 10 days? Daniel's guys or the Babylonians eating the good Babylonian food? Who is better off? Brother Denny? Daniel. And the only way to explain that is that God had blessed them and honored Daniel's commitment not to give in to the world and not to put anything above God. And he made that decision. And by the way, you're going to be faced with decisions in 2008. Am I going to put God first? Am I going to do this or go to church? Am I going to do this or read my Bible? Am I going to do this or witness for Jesus Christ? Those blessings that we saw on our watch night service came from daily decisions that were made by God's people that said, I'm going to put God first. And you'll be tested on that, like Daniel was tested. God always gives us tests. And his tests are, well, the classroom is life. The textbook is the Word of God. You're enrolled in the University of Jesus. And He'll test you. And He wants you to pass those tests. And so they did. And they were promoted. We saw at the end of chapter 1. Notice that they were promoted. And it says in the end of chapter 1 that verse 20, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them, that is Daniel and his three friends, 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in his realm. And Daniel continued unto the first year of King Cyrus. And so God blessed them. He blessed them for obeying God. He'll bless you. He'll always bless you as you trust and obey. You'll find the blessing of God. And so they were blessed in that way. And then they were blessed to understand or perceive God's plan for the future. They were blessed to perceive God's plan for the future. You see, because now Israel was no longer in their land. Israel was scattered. Israel was deported to Babylon, and the 10 tribes were scattered, and the 2 tribes were deported to Babylon. So Israel, you see, was not in their land. And you might wonder, well, what's God going to do? Is God still in control? Is He still working out His plan? And God did something to reveal His plan. Now, from chapter 2 all the way through chapter 7, the book of Daniel was written in the Aramaic language, which was the common language of Babylon, just like Greek was the common language of the New Testament when Christ came the first time. And then the common language was Aramaic. And so God had Daniel written in the common language of the people. Let me ask one of the men, why do you think that the book of Daniel was written in the common language of the people of that day? Not just the Jewish language, not just the Hebrew language, which only the Jews understood, but the common language. Why would that be done, Brother Bob?
The Gentiles would hear God.
Yeah, this is going to begin the times of the Gentiles, which began in 606 BC when they were taken captive, when they went into captivity. And so God is saying, okay, now the Gentiles are taking my people captive, but don't you think that their God is stronger than your God? God is still in control. The only reason He allowed them to be taken captive is because of the fact that they'd sinned against God. And by the way, you may have experienced defeats in your life. You may experience sins and consequences of sin in your life and in your family. And I see it all the time in the Church of Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean God is defeated. It means that we are so knuckleheaded that we don't follow God's Word.
Right.
And then we have to get spanked, and we have to have the consequences of our sin. And those consequences last for a long time, sometimes for your whole lifetime, and many times way beyond your lifetime. Check out Abraham and the Arab people through Hagar. And so, you see, God is showing, hey, they're not stronger than we are. I'm still in control. And we can say tonight, let God be true and every man a liar. And I just want to be one of those that proves God true and real, not by the hard knocks of life where I get knocked on the head for being a knucklehead. But I want to prove God true like Daniel by doing what His Word says. By the way, that's a good thing in your dating relationships. And in your courting relationships. And thank God for young people in our church that say, you know what, we don't want to learn the hard way like maybe our parents or our grandparents or some others. We are, as young people, we want to do it God's way. And we want to be living letters of what God says. And you've got an opportunity to do that. You've got an opportunity to be an example to others, and maybe some of you haven't been, and you've got the consequences. Well, thank God that God's raising up some young people that are going to have an opportunity to be an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Amen, Brother Joe? And they're going to be prevented from a lot of a bad thing. That's what we see in Daniel. And that's what we read about. And so they were in this situation, and God gave the word so that the Gentile nations could understand God's plan for the future and God's prophetic plan. Now, I'm going to skip ahead because we already went through this. But God gave a dream. God gave a dream to the king of Babylon, because God wanted the Babylonians once again to know his plan and to know who he was. And so God gave a dream to the king of Babylon. By the way, God doesn't just want this group in here to know the truth. Amen. God wants that word to go out. God wants the word to go out. Jesus, when he died and rose again and ascended to heaven, before he ascended, he said, preach the gospel to every creature. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's God's plan. And as we go into 2008, you would be wise to get involved in a soul winning training ministry on a Thursday night or on a Saturday or on a Sunday, and get involved in that and stay with that, because God wants his word to go out. And so this king was given this dream. He couldn't understand it. He went to all of his magicians and astrologers and his intellectuals that were trained for this purpose, you know, and nobody could tell him what the dream was. He forgot the dream, and nobody could tell him what the dream was. God gave the dream to Daniel and saved all of those people from being killed. And that dream contained the overview of God's plan for all the nations of the world and for Israel, his chosen nation. Now you mark it down. Though Israel was down, they weren't out. God always has Israel as part of his plan. You say, why did he choose Israel? And why can't the Jew be knocked out? Why do they keep on keeping on? It's because of God's sovereign election. When God chooses somebody, it's done. Why did he choose them? They were better than somebody else? No. He chose them because he wanted to. You say, I don't like that. Well, tough. God is in control. We need to realize that. Romans 9, read it. Who are you to reply against God? Who are you to tell God what to do? Just thank God that not only did he choose the Jew, thank God that he chose through the Jew to speak to you. Amen. And really, for the last 2,000 years, the Jew has rejected it. The Jew's not being saved. It's the Gentiles that are being saved. It's us that are being saved. And that continues to go on to this very day. Thank God for that. But don't you get prideful, because God is going to turn back to the Jew and he's going to save the whole Israelite nation. And you see it happening right now as we speak. And so God gave that dream, and then God gave his man the ability to know what the dream was and to interpret the meaning of the dream. And so we're looking at that, and we've been looking at that. And the dream had to do with Israel and the nations. And what did God use in that dream? One of the men tell me to make that message known about God's plan for Israel and the nation. What was it that the man dreamed about, Brother Greg?
Statue.
He dreamed about a statue. And the head was golden, all made of gold. That's a good thing. Have a gold head today. Gold is going up over $800 an ounce, probably go over $1,000 an ounce. Not too, gold is getting expensive these days. And the head was of gold, of that statue that he dreamed about. And then the next part of the statue had arms and a chest of silver. And then it had a belly and thighs of bronze. And then it had legs of iron and feet of iron mixed with clay. Very interesting. And he couldn't remember that dream. Daniel gave it to him because God gave him the dream. And then God gave Daniel the interpretation or the ability to understand that dream. And it's very interesting. The head represented what kingdom, one of the men tell me?
Persia.
The kingdom of what? Mark Aber. Babylon. And Babylon is represented today by the modern nation of Iraq. That is Babylon. And then the second kingdom, the one of silver, was which kingdom? Brother Bob?
Persia, represented by Iraq.
Very good. Persia, represented today by Iran. In fact, until 1932, Iran was called Persia. And then we've got the third, the belly one, the bronze one, and the thighs. And that represented what empire? One of the men, Brother Justin.
Roman?
You're just before that. There's one more. Greg? The Grecian Empire. That was ended by Alexander the Great being killed in battle when he was just a wee lad, about 30 years old. And he was killed in battle. He conquered. He wasn't killed in battle. He just died. Very prolific at life. And four generals took over the kingdom. One of the generals became prominent. Actually, two of them became prominent. And one of those nations exists today as an empire that came out of the Grecian Empire that's very prominent today with respect to Israel. And anybody know what nation represents that, Brother Bob?
From General Seleucid.
Yes, sir.
Became Syria.
Very good. There were the Seleucids and the Ptolemies. And the Seleucid Empire was the Syrian Empire. And that's represented today by the nation of Syria. You notice all these empires today, Iraq, Iran, Syria, they're not really friendly to Israel, are they? Have not been friendly to modern Israel. They're beast empires that have persecuted the Jews in the past. There are others before them. Also, Egypt was one, and Assyria that persecuted the Jews before them. But there's one more empire. Justin mentioned it. It was the Roman Empire. And that empire is an empire that was the last of those four empires. Very interesting to notice that the empires go from gold down to iron. That seems to descend, doesn't it? In value. It descends. And you know what that tells us? The farther we go, the more we're evolving and getting better and better. No. The farther we go, the more we're devolving and we're getting worse and worse.
Amen.
You know, it says, as the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Really, what the Lord was simply saying there is, in Noah's day, they were eating and drinking when the flood came. That he wasn't talking about the moral climate of Noah's day, per se, in that illustration. The moral climate is going to be worse at the end than any other day. Worse. And with the technology, it's worse. Sodom is nothing on us. And we are devolving, and it's getting worse and worse. And I'm here to tell you tonight, evil men and seducers shall grow worse and worse and worse. It's going to get worse as time goes on. It's like Marv Rosendahl says, like a rotting carcass. You know, that's how America is right now, like a rotting carcass. You ever smelled a dead animal? You know, it's been rotting a while. Oh, it stinks. I don't know about you, but I think America stinks to me in what's going on. And we're the salt. And that's why it's important that we stay separated from the sin, right? And stay with God. Brother Ed, good to see you tonight. And so we are like a rotting carcass. It's getting worse and worse. But wait a minute. Gold to iron, which is stronger? Waiting for me to say that. Which is stronger, gold or iron?
Iron.
So what is it telling us? That the military might of these empires are going to get stronger and stronger. And as we come down to this Roman Empire, the Roman Empire is very, very strong, or certainly very, they'll become more and more militarized, more military-wise. And of course, the final form of the Roman Empire has some very strong military nations in it, and some weaker nations that are together in this final alliance. But it will be a strong military alliance that will crush everything in pieces that it comes upon. And so that's what we see here, and Daniel explained all of that would happen. And it's very interesting because this is a picture of the times of the Gentiles and the different nations. And the Bible says that when Christ came the first time, when he came the first time to present himself as the Messiah, the King of the Jewish people, did they accept him or reject him, Brother Joe? They rejected him. And that when they rejected him, God said, okay, I am going to stop the time clock as far as Israel is concerned. I'm going to stop the time clock. They rejected him in A.D. 32, April of A.D. 32, as he came to them on Palm Sunday. And they rejected him and they said, we don't accept you as our Messiah. And God stopped the time clock for Israel. And God said in Daniel 9, he'll start it again. He'll start it again for 7 years in the future. And he says when he'll start it again, something will happen. Now, when God stopped that time clock and Israel rejected the Messiah during the first coming of Christ, what empire was in control of Israel at that time? One of the men. What empire was in control, Greg?
The Roman Empire.
The Roman Empire was in control. Now, after God stopped that time clock, the nation of Israel, a number of years later, a few decades later, in AD 70, they were defeated by the Romans and decimated and sent all over the world. The Roman Empire continued for in the West till about the 400 plus AD, and another 1,000 years after that in the East under Constantinople, and then it died out. But God had stopped the time clock with respect to Israel's kingdom, because she rejected her Messiah. But he's going to start that up again, and her kingdom program is going to start ticking again, and she has 7 more years left of that kingdom program. Now, the Bible mentions in the book of Revelation one more empire that would arise for a short time after Israel's time clock was stopped and while Israel was scattered. Daniel doesn't mention that empire, but Revelation does mention it. And I believe it's Nazi Germany. But it was not mentioned by Daniel. Daniel just mentions these four empires. And Daniel is saying that the Roman Empire is going to be revived. And where in this image do we see the revived form of the Roman Empire? In what part of this image, Denny?
The toes.
The toes, the feet and the toes. And very interesting, it says in the Bible, in Daniel chapter 2, and I'll have you turn there now at this time. I want to show you something here. In Daniel chapter 2, he talks about a fifth empire. But I want you to see what it says in Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. It says, and in the days of these kings. Now, which kings is he talking about in verse 44? In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. Now look at verse 43 and you'll find out that which kings we're talking about. Whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. This is talking about the revived Roman Empire. And it's saying that in the revived Roman Empire, you would have these people who would mixed together, but they would not really gel together because they have these differences. And the revived Roman Empire is something that when it is revived, the Bible says that's when the Lord is going to set up His kingdom. Now, we know Israel has to become a nation again before the Lord will set up His kingdom. And we know that the Roman Empire has to be revived again before the Lord will set up His kingdom, right? We're going to find out something else, too, here. When did Israel become a nation again? 1948. Very good, Brother Mark. May of 1948. Under a UN declaration of November 1947. And so that's already been done. So the Lord can set up His kingdom. That means the Lord can come back. And when the Lord comes back the second time, He's going to set up His kingdom. By the way, His kingdom is not just a kingdom in the hearts of men. Like some people say, well, the Lord came, He died and rose again, and now His kingdom is in the hearts of men. No, the Lord's kingdom is going to be a literal kingdom. He's going to reign over a geography and over a literal kingdom on earth for 1,000 years. And that will go on beyond that forever. But that is what is being predicted here. But that will not happen till Israel becomes a nation. And that also will not happen, according to this, until what? What kings are in existence when this happens? Brother Bob.
The final 10 kings of the revived Roman
Empire. Very good. The final 10 kings of the revived Roman Empire. So Israel has to become a nation, and then the Roman Empire has to be revived. Listen to me. I'm here tonight to tell you that the Roman Empire has been revived and is being revived as we speak. In 1950, the Schuman Declaration after World War II was a declaration that really gave the start to the United States of Europe and the revival of the Roman Empire. In October 23rd, 1954, the Brussels Treaty was modified, and it allowed for seven nations, Germany and Italy, joined Belgium and France and Luxembourg and Netherlands, the United Kingdom, and formed a military alliance called the Modified Brussels Treaties Power. And then later, Spain and Portugal got into it. Portugal first, then Spain. And then in January of 1995, Greece was the 10th nation to get into the Western European Union. And that was the 10-nation Western European Union. And that hit the magic number. And that 10-nation still is over the entire 27-nation European Union. In 1995, there was an accord between the European Union and 12 Middle Eastern nations that extended the power of the European Union all around the Mediterranean into the Middle East. And now when you look at a map of the European Union, if you take into account the Euro-Med Agreement of 1995 in Barcelona, Spain, you have a map basically of the old Roman Empire. The Mediterranean Sea was the lake of the old Roman Empire, and that's exactly what has happened. And it has not happened through war like Hitler tried to do it. It's happened through what? Peace. And the Bible speaks in Revelation 6 of the Roman prince extending his rule through the white horse. And that's in contrast to the red horse of war. It's going to be through peaceful means. And that's happening. In 1999, this European Union had these 10 nations, and they formed an office of a high representative, and they did that with recommendation 666 out of over 1,500 recommendations, and they elected Javier Solana to be their first high representative, which was the head called Mr. Europe. And the Bible says that a little horn would arise after the 10 horns, and I believe that certainly, at least the office of the beast out of the sea was created back there in 1999. And then in the year 2000, this high representative gained control of the European Union's new 10-nation military alliance. He had emergency powers given to him to control the military. And just recently, I just heard that he has now formed, Javier Solana has formed a group, a military group to provide peace for the Annapolis summit that was signed in November of the year 2007. And it's amazing, but what I'm trying to say to you is that in 1948, Israel became a nation. In 1950, and developing onward from there, the European Union has become the colossus predicted by Daniel all these years, 2,500 years ago, the colossus that we call the revived Roman Empire. It's in your lifetime. And the Bible says when that happens, you can look for the Lord to come back and set up His kingdom. And He's going to crush this kingdom militarily. But wait a minute, I want you to see something else. Go with me to verse 44, and it says that in the days of these kings, speaking about the 10 kings that we just spoke about in verse 43, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume. Next three words, everybody together. All these kingdoms. Thank you. And it shall stand forever. All these kingdoms. All these kingdoms. Now, in the context, he's not just talking about the Roman Empire and the ten kings. He is talking about Babylon, Iraq, Persia, Iran, Greece, Syria, and the revived Roman Empire. And what I'm saying to you is that in the last days, all these nations, Iraq has become a nation, Syria, Iran, they are all animosity toward Israel, and they've come about because when the Lord comes back, He is going to destroy them. Yes, the revived Roman Empire will be the key, but these other nations will also still be in existence at the end when the Lord comes back as a reminder of the past beast empires that persecuted Israel, and that God is going to destroy all of these Gentile powers that set themselves against the Lord. And I'll tell you what, I'd rather be on the Lord's side. Amen?
Amen.
God in one is a majority, and if you're on the Lord's side, you can join Daniel and his three friends, and you see these guys, you teenagers, these guys were just teenagers, and they learned to take a stand. We heard at the watch night service, one of the fathers testified how his young daughter had to take a stand not to be in an all-night slumber party and watch the wrong kind of movie. And do the wrong kind of thing. How about you? Are you going to be in a situation where you got to take a stand? I believe you will. And I believe when we get down to the end, there's going to be a stand that people are going to have to take. We know there's going to be a great empire that we just talked about. And the head of that empire, the Roman beast, he is going to have everyone through the auspices of the Jewish Antichrist. He's going to have everyone take his mark. And you can't buy or sell without it. And the believers that are true believers, they're not going to go along with that. We're going to see in Daniel chapter 3 next week, we're going to see how God is going to bless these guys that once again, as in Daniel 1, they're able to stand alone. And God's able to bless them. And God's able to protect them. And once again, when God in Daniel 2 was going to have this man, Nebuchadnezzar, was going to kill all of the wise men of Babylon through God's man, Daniel, God protected and spared all those wise men because He knew what the Word of God says. He knew what prophecy says. Let me tell you something. I believe it's important for you not to be a prophetical ignoramus. It's important for you to know what prophecy means and then how to apply it in your life. And I believe that God blesses that. And I want you to notice in closing of Daniel chapter 2 what happened. Look at verse 46. It says, then King Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshiped Daniel and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. What are we saying here? He was worshiping Daniel because he looked at him as a representative of God. He recognized God had done something through him that none of his other leaders could do. Now let me tell you something right now as we go into 2008. I believe it's going to be great in 08, but I don't believe that's because it's going to be necessarily great in America for 08 as far as the politics. I hope so. I pray so. But I want to tell you right now, it doesn't look too promising. But I want to tell you right now, that's if you're looking out, but I'm looking up and it looks great in 08. And listen to me, it creates an opportunity because as things begin to fail, as things begin to fold, as trouble begins to brew, who are people going to go to for the answers, beloved? People that have the answers from this book right here like Daniel did. As things begin to develop, and let me tell you, we've had trouble in this country because God said He'd make a Jerusalem a burdensome stone. Anybody gets involved with that, Zechariah 5, it's going to get worse and worse. You're going to have trouble. And we've had trouble in this country. I'm talking about natural disasters because of our involvement with Israel. The fires in California, this recent Annapolis agreement, they correlate. Katrina in 2005 correlates with what happened in Gaza when President Bush pressured then Premier of Israel to take the settlers out of the Promised Land. God does not like that. He made an eternal covenant with Israel, Abrahamic covenant concerning that land. You don't do that. You don't do that. And I'm saying we need people that can speak to power the truth when they need it. And then I want you to notice what it says in verse 47. The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth, it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal this secret. What's Nebuchadnezzar saying to Daniel? One of the men tell me, what is he saying in verse 47 to Daniel? What amazing thing is he acknowledging there to Daniel? Brother Mark Abear. Yeah, God is in control, and your God looks to be better than my God. He's not saying my God isn't God. He still believes in polytheism. But he's saying your God is better than my God. Now, what did the Babylonians believe? They believed their God was better than Israel because why? My military defeated your military. My God is bigger than your God. Now his mind is being changed. Now, listen to me. I believe prophecy can be used of God to change people's mind to take a second look at this book right here. It did me. I didn't get saved immediately, but it got me like Moses in the burning bush to turn aside and check it out, and that's when God spoke to me. Same with Herb Peters, FulfilledProphecy.com. A lot of people in this day, God's using prophecy to get their attention. And that's why it's important for you to be able to speak the truth about this at the right time. I appreciated Brother Bob the other night. Some of the young people that were here, some of the young men, he had a Bible study right in there about prophecy. He said, preacher, can I go in there and have a study? I go in there. And a group of guys got together and they were studying prophecy. I like to see that. And I believe, you know, the closer we get to the end, the more God's going to open people's eyes to it. But you got to have some people that know what's going on and can explain it. And that's why I'm glad you're here tonight. And that's why I'm glad you're coming to Sunday school on Sunday morning. We're studying Revelation verse by verse for the adult class and so forth and so on. But God said that he would bless and promote, and he did that. Look at verse 48. Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. You know, to get ahead, you got to compromise. Amen? You read Daniel. He just kept not compromising and he kept getting ahead. Now, they almost got killed in the process of getting ahead. You got to not forget that little part of it. You'll be dangled over death many times when you don't compromise. But then God promotes you. God is the one that promotes. Promotion comes from the Lord.
Amen.
And so, you know, be willing to give up things for the Lord and let the Lord take care of where you are. And the three Hebrew children, they let the Lord take care of where they were. And look at verse 49. It says, then Daniel requested the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. So Daniel was able to be right there with the king. And these guys, his friends, these godly people, were able to rule over Babylon, the chief province of the Babylonian Empire. What an amazing testimony to how God can bless you if you put him first. Let's do that. Let's remember God's kingdom is going to come and it's going to crush all these other powers. And so let's be faithful to our God. Let's bow for prayer, every head bowed. And we've been talking about God's got a plan for the nations, for Israel. And we've seen that in our day, the Lord has brought to pass the revival of the Roman Empire. He's brought to pass Israel coming together as a nation again. And very soon, we know that the final 7 years are going to begin. Are you going to be ready? Say, how can I be ready? Walk with God today. How can I be ready? Don't just focus on the details of prophecy. Focus on the Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says in the last book of the Bible, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I wonder, we're now 2 days into 2008. Is it going to be great for you in 08? How have you been doing on these priorities that we've been talking about so far in 2008? I'm talking about witnessing. I'm talking about being separated from old past worldly things that are pulling you down, your old sins from 2007 and before. I'm talking about getting in the Word, spending quality time in the Word and prayer. I wonder if there's someone that will say to me tonight, "Preacher, already I need to get back to what it takes to be great in 08. Would you pray for me tonight? Would you raise your right hand if that's a need in your life tonight? Amen. Amen. I wonder tonight, is there anybody here that'll say, "Preacher, I'm not 100% sure if I would die, I'd go to heaven. I know I've sinned. I know that there's a price for sin, and that's to die and go to hell. Jesus Christ came the first time to pay that price for us so that He could rise again and save us. But you can't be saved until you recognize Jesus Christ and you rely upon Him to save you." I wonder, as we are in the first service of 2008, is there somebody here that says, "Pastor, right now I'm not 100% sure if I were to die, I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me?" Would you raise your right hand? "I'm not sure, Pastor." Raise it up high. Let me see it. All right. You may put them down. Now listen to me tonight, and I want you to listen to me very well. You can know that you're going to heaven. The Bible says these things are written to you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. The Bible says if you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as the one that died for our sins and rose again, that God will wipe away your sins and He'll never punish you for your sins. Jesus will be the one that will be your Savior from that time on. And tonight, if you have not called upon the Lord to be your personal Lord and Savior, I'm inviting you to do that. In fact, I'm commanding you to do that tonight based on the Word of God. God commands you to come to Jesus Christ by faith and call upon the Lord. It says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Right where you are, call upon the Lord right now. And tell the Lord, "I don't want to die and go to hell. Lord, I want to be saved. I believe You are the Savior of the world. He came from the nation Israel. He died for our sins. He had no sin of His own. And He rose again, and He's coming again. You need to accept Him by faith right now. It'll be too late for you when He comes back and catches up His people to meet Him in the air. It'll be too late for you. But today is the day for you to be saved. Right now, not just later on tonight, but right now, accept Him as your Savior. Would you do that?" I wonder if somebody will say to me, "Preacher, I am accepting Jesus as my Savior tonight. I realize I need that. I'm accepting Him." Would you raise your right hand? Just hold it up high. Amen. I see that hand. Amen. Thank God. You may put them down. Somebody tonight, I trust, got saved. And I thank God for that. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for this invitation, not from me so much as from Christ, from You, through Your man. And Lord, I thank You for the response to that. And I pray, Father, that that would be real faith, the faith that is of the Son of God and would bring forth fruit. I pray for that, Lord, on this January of 2008, January 2nd. Seal these decisions also for Your people, Father, that we would keep in mind the things that we've heard. And when current events come down, Lord, that we'd be able to give an answer to people that need answers. And Father, that we would not try to be promoted by our own promotion, that we would let You promote us. That we might use that for You and to influence people for You, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.